The reading is from Mark chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Please stand.
Reading Mark 15, 22 to 39. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on either side. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, "So you, who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of the Jews, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard him cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely, this man was the Son of God."
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, all those who have participated this morning. During his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the height of the crisis of the arrest of Jesus, as blows are being traded, swords slicing through ears, disciples figuring out which direction to run, Jesus says, "It has to be this way to fulfill the words of Scripture." You'll find something to that effect in the accounts of Matthew and Mark. Luke has Jesus make the statement retrospectively on the road to Emmaus. "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And in John's account of the crucifixion, he states four times that things were happening so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. There are many references in the Old Testament that are made to this event. But you don't have to go all over the place. Just go to Psalm 22 or Isaiah 53. It's where most of them are. Just read line after line events that took place before or at and even after the crucifixion. Words written centuries before Jesus Christ walked this earth. And although he was conscious of their being fulfilled, do you think that the authorities that were obsessed with killing him had any desire to be seen to be fulfilling those scriptures? Their goal was to show that Jesus was not the Messiah, not the chosen one, not the Savior of the world. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things? Well, Peter hadn't thought so. He'd just declared Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because of that assertion, there was no way he could imagine that being who he was, Jesus must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter just couldn't put the two things together. He came to understand that Jesus was saving us from ourselves. It would spare Jesus nothing, but spare those who trust him everything. And then there was that woman at the temple. Perhaps it was because she had nothing the world values, but she got Jesus completely. Even if it took her 3 years to work out what he was saying about taking the temple down and rebuilding it in 3 days. She got the fact that Jesus wanted ordinary people like her to have access to God. Jesus came to be that access by paying the entrance fee for us all. He conquered death, and that's how we can make it through life. Nicodemus was one of those men who had counted themselves among the gatekeepers of access to God. Anybody could get in so long as they kept the 613 laws of the Jewish faith. And when he sought out Jesus at night to find out what was really going on, and when they looked one another in the eye, Nicodemus realized that it was love that would save him. Only love. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your fellow human being so much that you want that for that love for them more than anything else. For God so loved. The old woman who, as a little girl, heard the thunder of God's voice when Jesus gave himself to glorify the Father's name. Glorify the Father's name in full obedience on the cross. The statement of obedience brought a thunderclap from God, a triumphant noise. The next thunderclap would come at the same time as the sacrificial lamb of Passover was killed in the temple. And the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was killed on Calvary's cross. The sky went black. The thunder shook the earth. It rained as if the tears of the Father were cascading down on witnessing the death of his Son. I imagine Peter standing in that rain, having felt the earth tremor that had caused damage to the temple and caused the great curtain of the Holy of Holies to be torn in two. Peter stood there, wanting the rain to flush out of his ears the sound of the rooster's crow. The definitive statement that he had let Jesus down through his own weakness. And they took him away and killed him. And he had run. Peter would come to know that he was forgiven, accepted, restored because of what happened to Jesus in fulfillment of Scripture. There was the hope of life in rich abundance. Don't believe anybody who tells you that following Jesus is an easy way to health and wealth and prosperity. It's not the way to an easy life. It's not the way to a life free of death or mourning or crying or pain. We will face them all this side of eternity. But when we come to share resurrection with Christ beyond death, those things will belong to this past. Living for Jesus, living with Jesus, Peter realized meant emotional and physical difficulty that at times felt more like losing than winning. But Jesus would come back in fulfillment of Scripture too. All God's promises would be yes in him. By his Spirit, Jesus would be with and in every believer in every time and every situation of their lives. And if we will trust him, if we will say, "Thank you, Jesus, I accept what you have done as being for me too," then we will know that love that passes anything that Hollywood might be purport to be love. Nobody else could do it. Nobody but Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, in this moment we come to you. We say, Lord, be Lord of our lives. Be our forgiver. Be our leader. We've got it wrong so often, just like Peter got it wrong. But there would come a time when you asked Peter to declare his love for you. And in that moment, he would know acceptance and forgiveness. So by your Spirit, help us to declare our love for you. And as we do so, we just remember this morning those who are in our hearts and minds who need to know your love, especially at this time. We pray for Ron Davis and Scott and Graham and their family following the death this week of Jan. We pray for Dawn and Steve Metcalf following the news that there is nothing more medically that can be done to help his condition. We pray for Pete and Christine Kane walking through the land of uncertainty in the face of serious illness. And there are many others we know and love who we bring to you now and for whom we seek your touch, your light, your leading. In Jesus' name, who taught us all to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.